Tell us about the paper that you put out.
Yeah, the unemployed worker. Oh, yeah. And I remember one cartoon we had in there. It was a great big dog, you know, and his tail was out. And they come along, the boss, big fat boss, you know, looks on a big cigar and he takes and he chops off a little bit of the tail. Not satisfied with that, he chops off some more. And then he chops off some more until there was no tail left. And that was how they were, in other words, the dog was representing the unemployed. He kept chopping at him until he's no tail left. Oh, we had many things. You know, we had a lot of fun in those days in our own little way, you know. We didn't have any money, but we had time on our hands, and we didn't get into trouble like they are today, you know. It was harmless one, you know.
How did you put the paper out?
Well, we bummed a lot of the paper to print them, and we had four pages, and we'd run it through this way in the mimeograph and turn it over and through the other way, and then turn it four times. Oh, we had a highly efficient press, but we got it out.
Was that for East Burnaby or for all of Burnaby
that
you did
Burnaby,
that was all of Burnaby.
Yeah.
But that was separate from the unemployed worker that was put out in Vancouver.
Yeah, they had their own rag there. They had their own little papers. Each district would have their own little papers here and there, you know, throughout. And it wasn't very extensive. We used to print maybe 1,000, somewhere around that, in here. And I guess Vancouver, they're printing them by the thousand. I know they had far better machines than we had to print. And if they knew that where the machines were, they would confiscate them. Because that whole unemployed workers really were illegal too, you know, they were illegal. But they wouldn't, we were a little bit too well organized for them to start attacking us, especially our block committee. They go in a block committee and start attacking those people, neighbors there. I tell you, you'd have the whole works up in arms in no time flat. But as far as printing this illegal press, because it was advocating violence, because they were advocating down to the demonstration, you know, and so on. And for that reason, they figured this was seditious. They interpreted it as that, and therefore, I guess under the law, they could make it stick. So we had to watch how we went about these things. And we'd move this mimeograph from one place to another, too. Keep moving it. Every time I printed it, it was a different place, you know. So they couldn't get wise to the stool pigeons.
So you printed about 1,000 copies?
Hmm?
You printed about 1,000 copies?
I think we used to print around 1,000, depending on how much energy we had left at the end of the night. We worked all night, you know. We'd work, started about 7 o'clock at night and work right through 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning sometimes. And then we'd go out and peddle them.
Who wrote for it?
Hmm?
Who wrote the articles for it?
Oh, different ones. We take articles like they do today, national articles from different ones, and Vancouver articles from different people. From all over, and then the local boys, they would put in little articles about our organization here, you know, all the little commentaries and problems that are arising and all this sort of thing. It was much along the same line as other paper. There was no advertising ads to speak of. There were a few little ads in there. Some of the more prosperous brothers would put in a little ad in Barber or something, you know, and he'd give us 50 cents for it, 25 cents. That was all the worth, I guess. But we had a few ads in there, sympathetic people, some quite prominent people, too. Quite prominent people give us an ad. And there were quite, I don't know, there were a lot of prominent people who were in the communist movement, but they wouldn't come out and be counted because of their business or their environment, association. Because in those days, if you dare to speak about communism, people would spit in your face, you know, and that sort of thing. Not today, they listen today. But in those days they did, and it was very difficult. Some people were very hostile, the religious people were very hostile because they said they were out to destroy their God, which we're not going to do that or any such a thing. We told them, we says, why not shake hands and get to work on a common goal of a minimum program that we can all agree on. Never mind about this pie in the sky. You can go there if you want to. But we're faced with this situation here on Earth. Let's make this Earth a little better. And we can only do it by having unity. We can't do it by you going your way and we go our way. Let's try to get together on a minimum program. And it worked in a lot of cases. Now, Woodsworth was an example. And Tommy Douglas was an example. I got the greatest respect for the men. I don't agree with the NDP movement exactly, but I do respect people who have sacrificed themselves to that extent to come up and dare to be counted in the pulpit or whatever, what have you. And so we had several ministers that I talked to. I approached them, and they said, we're sympathetic, but that's as far as we can go. That's as far as I can go. I can't go any farther than that, because my congregation will drop me like a hot potato. But I'm sympathetic with your movement, and good luck to you, and all this sort of thing, you know, which gave you encouragement, all right? But they wouldn't come out and be countered. And, of course, pretty tough to do that. I realize that. You've got to be a very dedicated person to be able to do those things. And so we understand that. We understood that. And we even got donations from ministers for our movement, and doctors, and lawyers, and dentists, and so on. We got donations from them. Some of them sent us regular donations, which we certainly appreciated because we needed it. Not very much, maybe 50 cents, maybe a dollar, but so it helped. It all helped in the dirty 30s, or the hungry 30s, whatever you want to call it. It all helped. And so.
I noticed in the Vancouver newspaper, The Unemployed Worker, they put quite a lot of emphasis on how well organized Burnaby was. Well, and I wondered if Burnaby was different from other areas in that way.
No. Organization only comes as a result of the ability of its leaders. The amount of dedication that the leaders have and the amount of knowledge they have about organization and so on, to be able to organize and keep unity and harmony in that organization. And same thing applies in other movements too. The Liberal Party, they have, like the NDP, are very lucky to have such an organizer they've got nationally, one of the best in the world. And so this is important. First of all, have good leadership that are willing to work, not lazy, willing to work and have a little enough knowledge to be able to